I am so grateful for technology, but if you're like me, you want to make sure that we can put things in place so it doesn't absolutely run our life. So stay tuned. That's what this podcast is all about, is being able to appreciate technology, but making sure that we keep it in its place. This is Unconventional Wellness Radio, and I will be back with you very, very soon for this podcast. Hey, everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio. I am Frank. I am your host, and I have the distinct pleasure today of being able to talk to you about something that is near and dear to a lot of our hearts, and that is technology. Matter of fact, if we didn't have technology, you wouldn't be able to listen to me right now, because you are probably listening to me through the smartphones or tablets or computers or whatever your media device that you are listening me to through, which I really, really appreciate it. But I wanted to come on here and talk about technology. Now, before we get started with that, I wanted to also let you know that we are going to do a giveaway. And the reason why we're going to do a giveaway is because I'm just nuts and I love rewarding my listeners. And so I want to do a giveaway. What I'm thinking about giving away is going to be a really invaluable thing. I am getting ready to release my Unconventional Wellness program, and I want to offer it for a 50% discount to one lucky listener. And so what you have to do is just simply this. It requires nothing else for you to enter other than putting a review and putting a rating on this podcast. That's all you have to do. I am going to run this for the next 3 weeks on this channel, that you can go on there, put a rating, put a review, and I will do that drawing, which will be completely random, and I will literally use just simply the ratings and reviews that I can find on iTunes, and that's how I will draw my winner. Now, if you're not listening to me on iTunes and you're listening to me on, say, Spotify or Stitcher or something like that, email me at frank@ritzessentials, ESSENTIALS.com. So frank@ritzessentials.com. And I will enter you into that same drawing as well. So please, please get those ratings, get those reviews, put them on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever you're listening to. I will compile all of them and I will draw for somebody to have a 50% off discount on my Unconventional Wellness program. I'm telling you right now, this program is going to be killer. We're going to talk about the five pillars. We're going to talk about nutrition. We're going to talk about movement and exercise. We're going to talk about getting better sleep. We're going to talk about detoxifying your life. And we're going to be also talking about removing stress and anxiety. These are the five pillars that I live by. And I'm telling you right now, as a person who is combat disabled from the Army, I have a wonderful bag of nonsense that I carry around with me. And yes, I could be on opioids. I could be on benzodiazepines, which are anti-anxiety medications. I could be completely drugged up right now, because trust me, I qualify for it. But here's the deal. I did not want to do that to myself. I wanted to live a functionally secure life. And I've been able to do that with the help of patients and colleagues and really my wife and a lot of research that we've done on our own in order to live this unconventional wellness lifestyle. Because I feel that we are a whole person, right? Like, we can't just focus on mental health. We can't just focus on physical health. We can't just focus on something like losing weight. Now, don't get me wrong. That's going to make us feel great. But the thing is that if we're eating right, we're doing the right diet plan, and we're getting all this wonderful weight loss, excuse me, it should make you hungry for more. You should now say, well, how can I address my sleep concerns, or how can I live less stressfully? And so I felt that we needed to approach this in a very simplified way. I break it down in ways that are easy to describe. I have action steps. I have notes. You're going to get Facebook Lives with me. You're going to have opportunities for question and answer sessions. So I am going to be your literal mentor and coach and friend as I help you and guide you into a way where you can make these decisions on your own and be able to actually live the lifestyle that you've always wanted. And that is the program of Unconventional Wellness. And so anyway, I'm going to give that away 50% off to that. It's going to be definitely a killer program, and it's coming out next month. There, I just said it. I put it out there. Yes, we are launching this next month. And so anyway, getting back to it, put a rating, put a review on there and let me know. And I will do that drawing here in the next couple of weeks. I am actually looking for, let's do it. We will do it by August 12th, okay? We will do it by August 12th. So the podcast that comes out on August 12th will have an announcement of our lucky winner. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to business, okay? So we've been talking about nutrition. We've been talking about diet. We've been talking about, you know, movement and things like that. We've actually even been talking about toxins and stuff like that. If you haven't caught any of these old episodes, please click through the old episodes and you will be able to actually see that content that I bring every single week on all of these different pillars, as I like to call them, okay? And so anyway, we want to shift now into, let's talk about detoxification, right? So we're under our detoxification pillar, which is our fifth module in our program as well. But anyway, what I want to discuss is not just simply physical or even possibly emotional toxins, but I also want to talk about social toxins as well. Because honestly, we now live in a world where it is extremely easy to get exposed to things through the medium of technology. And so I just want to talk about what I like to call, putting technology in a place where it's actually secure and it's useful for you. I'm going to be basing this a lot off of a really fantastic book that I had the recent pleasure of reading. It's a book called The Tech Wise Family, and it's by Andy Crouch. And I will put a link to it. Excuse me. So if you want to pick up a copy, I get nothing for it. But I wanted to let you know that if you want to pick up a copy and start implementing these 10 steps, there are 10 steps in the book. We're only going to talk about a couple, but we're going to let that be available for you in our show notes. So if you want to check out our show notes, there'll be a link on this podcast article or on this podcast, and you can actually go check that out as well. So anyway, the book is The Tech Wise Family by Andy Crouch. I actually became exposed to it through a Bible study that we did at our church, and it was just really, it really resonates, because we have an unbelievable society now that we are pretty dependent upon our pieces of technology that we have. And so Andy Crouch gives 10 really, really practical and useful tips to be able to put technology in its place, like he calls it. And so I wanted to talk about how we've implemented some of those things and how they've been either beneficial or difficult for our family. And then I also wanted to talk about some other different strategies that we like to use in order to really just have technology where it should be in order to be able to really have a happy and healthy life. And so we're going to talk about that as a detoxification thing for today. So let's dive right in. Well, the first thing is that I love and adore the fact that we have technology. Now, I am a person who I span a good deal of technology. I mean, I remember 8-track tapes as a kid. I'm going to date myself here. I remember 8-track tapes as a kid, and now I am in the same amount of technology as everybody else. So let me give you just a couple of examples. So 8-track tapes, laser disc players. I remember the old projectors that when they first came out, it literally had 3 different tubes. This thing was the size of a large coffee table, and it had 3 different tubes that did 3 different colors. You had a blue one, a yellow one, and a red one. And all of them came together magically in order to make a picture up on a projection screen. And so this was like the classic old school, man or woman cave, whatever you would like to call it, man cave, she shed, inside of the house where you would actually be able to play videos and everything like that. And you had to do that on big laser disc. If you don't know what a laser disc is, if you were born beyond, like, say, 1990, a laser disc is like, think of like a really, really about the size of a vinyl record, which I think most people have seen, because because if you walk through stores, they're starting to make a bit of a comeback. But vinyl record size, so right, it's like the size of a really large plate. And you would actually play it. I remember playing like the original Star Wars on it, and it would get to like a certain scene, which I can't remember, like about halfway through the movie, and it would actually stop, and it would have a warning up there, please flip side over to side two to play. I also grew up, of course, with VHS. I remember going out to Blockbuster every single Friday night and going to peruse the outside of the store. There was like a horseshoe on the outside of all the other movies, and those were all the new releases. And I just remember that was like such a cool thing. You'd get your popcorn, your candy, and shop the new releases every single Friday. And then, of course, you could always have really stiff fines if you didn't bring your movie back on time. They would absolutely staggeringly cost you a great deal after a week. And so you think keeping like a Redbox movie was long, and you know, you pay $20, $30 for that DVD. I tell you what, the late fees on some of these Blockbuster movies were astronomical if you did not turn them back in. And God forbid you didn't rewind the VHS tape, you could be charged for that as well. And so I was under the cliche, you know, be kind, please rewind. Also, but then we moved into technology on computers, right? And so like we started off, and I remember, man, I was like, I was a DJ for like 15 years, both through high school a little bit, and then definitely through college and beyond. And I have definitely seen the change of downloadable music, starting with Napster, if you remember that from back in the day, and then it changed into some different peer-to-peer sharing programs like Kazaa, and then now we're just into streaming music. So I've seen music make its metamorphosis as well online. I've also seen the advent of different messaging programs that you could download. So I started off with AOL. I remember, you know, getting that brand new CD-ROM in the mail, and it was amazing, and you felt so great that you had AOL 3.0, and then you had AOL 4.0, and then it just kept going. And I just remember that changed into, well, let's start talking to people. So honestly, I had an article back in high school written about us, about the change of how people talk. This was written, folks, in the 1990s. And I was in the local paper, and I still have a copy of it, of myself and my two friends staring at a computer, and we're apparently meeting people in chat rooms. Yes, it was absolutely horrid, and it was just I thought I was like, you know, one of the kings of technology at the time. And so anyway, we met in chat rooms, if you will. We talked about, you know, A/S/L, which stood for age, sex, and location in a chat room. And then anyway, that changed into AOL Instant Messenger, and then we talked on Yahoo Messenger, and even MSN or Microsoft had a messenger program. And so anyway, matter of fact, if it wasn't for technology, I wouldn't have even met my wife, because when I was in, you know, just as the metamorphosis continues, while I was on my very first deployment to the Middle East, thankfully we had websites that talked to one another. So my wife was on one website, I was on another. We could actually view each other's profiles, and that's how we met. Now, this was back in the like early 2000s, where it still wasn't even cool to actually meet one another online. So like you still kind of secretively did it because you didn't want to be considered like the outcast weirdo and meet somebody that you had met through a computer. And now, funny enough, that is the way that the vast majority of people meet for the first time, is because of a conversation that they've had now through, say, Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Facebook wasn't even a thing. You know, I'm going to even go back a little bit sooner that a lot of us probably remember, which was MySpace. And I remember that everybody was on MySpace, and it was such a great platform until Facebook, which was originally for college students only, when Zuckerberg first came out with it with his college friends, you had to have a .edu at the end of your email to sign up in order to actually even be on Facebook. And then all of a sudden they said, we've got something here. And of course they changed it to where it now is metamorphosized into the Facebook of today. So Amazon, by the way, when I was growing up, Amazon was only a place where you could first get books, and then it became the massive billion-dollar industry that it is. So anyway, it's changed. And so I say all that because technology is incredible. I just want to go down memory lane and be nostalgic with you. So I hope that you're like laughing to yourself because of all the different things that I just came up with. But anyway, so I started off with 8 tracks and I came all the way now to what Facebook is today. And so I say all that because I understand technology, but I also can be overwhelmed by technology as well because it is extremely easy to capture people's attention through technology. And so through this book, I have been able to, myself and my wife have been able to really implement some really great strategies in order to be able to really concern and place technology where we want to inside of our home. Starting off with one of the pieces that Andy Crouch talks about in his book is that he has a bit of a Sabbath, if you will, from technology. So he starts it off and it's really basic, guys, and it's something that a lot of us can implement in our own lives and in our family's lives is that we want to have at least 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and then 1 week in a year in order to be able to have a technology-free time. Andy describes it as anything that glows, it gets shut off during that particular time. And so 1 day a week for like him as an example is when they eat dinner together. They have an entire hour where they have no technology whatsoever, you know, phones and all that kind of stuff are nowhere near the dinner table. And so they take a break then, and then they do it 1 day a week. So on Sundays for them, they have no technology whatsoever an entire Sunday. And then 1 week in a year, or sometimes now it's become two, according to his book, they go out and they have a vacation that is technology free. And he said that that has actually caused a lot of really great connecting in his family. And so that is something that we too have also decided to adopt, is that we wanted to have that same sort of philosophy. So at least 1 hour a day, we're sitting together and we're talking or we're doing something inside of the room together. It could be a board game, you could be playing. I mean, my wife and my daughter, they love to crochet. And so like it's something quiet that we can do that doesn't involve technology, right? And then 1 week, or excuse me, 1 day of the week, that's a little bit harder of a thing for us because it has been one of those things where it's Sunday. We decided to do Sunday as well. And so we usually have to force ourselves to just simply go out and go do something. It's a really great time for us to be able to go spend time as a family on a Sunday because when you're home, when you're relaxed, it's Sunday, there's really nothing going on. It's super easy to like either want to flip on the television and catch a game or, you know, put on your phone or something like that, or maybe even do both while you're just relaxing at the house. So it's a really great time for us to be able to get out, get some sunshine if it's a nice day, and be able to actually do something. So that Sunday was pretty difficult for us. And then 1 week in a year is always great, and you're always refreshed if you don't bring technology with you for a vacation. So honestly, we've definitely done that one, and it has been a phenomenal thing for our family just to really connect. Surprisingly, Andy talks about in his book, and you think that it's our kids. It's not our kids only. I mean, I see technology has no bounds when it comes to the age groups that people will actually, you know, have a phone on them. I mean, like, here's the deal. I have noticed more often than not that because of the fact that we are becoming very, you know, uncasual in our conversations with people out in our communities, that it's super easy for us to simply grab the phone out of our pocket and almost avoid a conversation because maybe we are a little bit too awkward in our social interactions with people. And so I will more often than not, very first thing I see, we go out to a restaurant or something like that to go enjoy a meal together. I'll see people literally sit down and there'll be a couple or it could be a family and pull out a phone. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not telling anybody that you're guilty of like being a terrible person. I'm just saying that these are habits that I've noticed. You know, if you're waiting for a bus stop or you're waiting for a plane or something like that, everybody is on their phone. You know, there's a big movement, by the way, that I heard about people who just want to go out to an airport that the TSA is considering to loosen their rules. There's a couple of airports that actually have adopted this and they want to loosen their rules to allow people to just simply go to an airport to have an airport experience, even if they're not flying. I know it's crazy because since at least the beginning of 2000, around the time of the 9/11 bombing, you know, TSA has been established. Home security has been, the Department of Homeland Security has been established. And it's crazy to imagine that people who actually don't have a flight may be able to go inside of an airport to have the airport experience. Now they're doing it for a couple different reasons, but excuse me, you'll be able to actually go out and maybe have a legitimate one-on-one conversation with somebody that you meet in the airport. And so anyway, I say all that because, you know, we need to realize that it's becoming like a really big habit for all of us. It's very simple for us to like shy away, grab our phone and be happy, okay, in our little tech space, talking to people on text messages or on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever, maybe different social media app that you use. And so, excuse me, what I urge you to do is be cognizant. You know, this is probably my first example of ways to start becoming, you know, technologically savvy today is be cognizant of the amount of times that you either touch your phone, pick your phone up, or look at it. Okay. Because 9 times out of 10, we might say, yes, I'm going to look at my phone, pick it up, and maybe go check my email or something like that. But the thing is that it will unfortunately zap us into where now we check our email, we might have a redirection to say Facebook, and then we go check out Facebook, and then we become a scroller on Facebook. Because the vast majority of people who are on Facebook are really not people who interact. They're more like just screen watchers and scrollers, right? So I just say that because it's really easy for our phones to grab us in. Here's the other thing that I also wanted to do with my smartphone and my tablets and my computers and all that kind of stuff is I shut off the vast majority of my notifications. Okay, a couple of really cool things you can do on an iPhone if you so happen to have one. And I do believe that this might be something similar. I think my mom said that it's like something similar on an Android device, is that there is a screen time way of controlling things. So first of all, I have my do not disturb on by 9 o'clock every evening. Okay. I put my phone to bed. That's another tip, by the way, is put your phone to bed. We put our children to bed. We put ourselves to bed, hopefully. So hopefully we need to start putting our phones to bed or putting our devices to bed. I don't have a device in our bedroom. My wife and I do not have a device in the bedroom. Okay. The device that we have, any devices that we have, they're outside and we put them to bed. They're not in the bedroom. It helps us get phenomenal sleep. We don't get bothered by notifications and all that kind of stuff. But I also have do not disturb on my phone. You can absolutely do that through your general settings on your phone. I have it from 9 to 9. Okay. So my phone will not make any noise whatsoever from 9 to 9. All right. The other thing that you can do is there's this really cool, if you have one of the newer downloads of the operating system for especially iPhone, is that you can actually take a look at your screen time and you can see exactly what applications you had open, which are the ones that you had open, and which are the ones, total screen time for the day. And what's kind of cool is they'll give you a weekly report and it'll tell you if you're up or down in the amount of screen time that you had for that particular week. And so these are a couple of different, and then one more other thing that it'll do is it'll let you know how many times your phone was touched. That is incredible to me because I guess it uses the same mercury, if you will, that's inside of your phone, and it will actually know if you've actually picked up your phone. So not even as in a matter of you turning your screen on and looking at it, but you can actually, in fact, see how many times you've picked up your phone. And at the time of this recording, I've only been awake for about 4 hours. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at that right now, and I'm going to see how many times I've actually picked up my phone right now in the last 4 hours. All right, screen time, there I'm at. So I have been on my screen for 40 minutes. Which was, you know, I've checked a lot of things, if you will, and stuff like that. And then how many times have I picked you up? Let me see. Downtime, Evelyn. I don't know. I'll find it here in a second. But anyway, it will tell you, you know, what you've done and everything like that. Oh, here we go. So I picked up my phone 20 times since I woke up this morning. Okay. And, you know, that's just picking it up. That's all I've done. I don't necessarily believe that all of those 20 times have I really opened up anything or looked at anything, but I picked it up 20 times in like 4 hours. And so like you'd be really surprised at how many times you actually pick your phone up and really maybe not even do anything to it, but pick it up. Now, like I said, put technology in its place, right? So like I'm not saying that like you need to look at all this stuff and be like, oh my goodness, I'm such a terrible person because I picked up my phone 300 times a day. You got to also start really breaking down and really looking at like this particular, you know, portion of what I love on this app on my phone is that I can actually see what I'm doing. So if you're being productive and like you're building an Instagram business or you're building a Facebook business or, you know, you have to interact with customers or something like that, by all means, do not hurt, you know, call yourself a terrible person because of the fact that you're doing those things, right? It's like, you got to look at what particular things you are doing when you do pick up the phone. So if you're like doing like mindless things, like, you know, you're on Facebook for 20 minutes and you really didn't need to do that because you weren't really talking to anybody who was, you know, or you were getting in touch with somebody or whatever, you are your own person. You're an adult. You are welcome to use that technology for what it is. It's just really nice that I have objectifiable data to make sure that if I'm trying to get out of my own personal thresholds, it's really nice to be able to say, all right, cool, I'm on this app a little too much. I need to watch it here for the future. So that's what I love about that app in particular. So let me know what I am doing in order to be able to really limit myself the ways that I want to, okay? So another couple of things that we really love, moving on from that, is we think that it is really awesome that Andy describes, you know, living in a world where we're worried about our kids, you know, about their exposures and things like that, the stuff that we don't necessarily want them to see. And so this is the way that I like to see it, is just like Andy likes to see it, is that, you know, what if you live in a place where the air pollution is really bad, right? So if you live in a place where the air pollution is really bad, you still want to live there. So what do you have to do? Well, you install filters, right? So you have to have the most amazing filters when it comes to yourself and the rest of your family, okay? Technology is an amazing thing, but with technology can come a lot of really crazy responsibility. And so we want to make sure that we are keeping ourselves responsible as well. So if that is something that interests you, get yourself an amazing filter, okay? You can totally get one that you could put on your Wi-Fi network if you wish. You could put it on your computer. You could put it on your phone. And I tell you what, there are some really, really great things about having a filter, because like I said, that air is going to be polluted. You got to filter what you want to come into your home. Okay. So that is a tip for a lot of us parents and a lot of us adults, if you will, is what type of filter that we want to use. And so I thought that that was really great. The way that he described it is that you're still going to want to live in that space, but you just want to make sure that you have, you know, something like that. Another thing that we love to do is we want to have screen times. Like, different devices will allow a certain amount of screen time and then you're done for the day. And so like that is not a really bad thing as well. That is something that is really, really great. Here's something that we actually really love, is that when we are using our technology, my optometrist will let you know that blue light is the thing that it does a couple of different things to you, okay? So like tip number four here is get yourself a pair of inexpensive blue light blocking glasses. The blue light blocking is so that way you don't get a lot of that light that comes into the eye of the blue. It's of the blue frequency, and it does things like it can cause headaches when you look at it for a long time. It can cause you to be awake. It's actually the thing that the blue light from your device, if you use it later on in the evening, say 9, 10, something like that. The reason why it is a catch 22 is because you might want to look at your screen because a notification popped up, but then all of a sudden the blue light actually subconsciously stimulates your brain and makes it believe that it's a time for it to wake back up again. So some folks, when they have sleeplessness, they might grab at their phone just to maybe like play a crossword or something like that. But the problem is that unfortunately you can be exposed to that blue light and it actually could cause some wakefulness in you rather than making you tired. So invest in a pair of blue blocking glasses. There's filters that you could put on your screen. Matter of fact, something really cool that happened with my computer is that I can adjust it now and it'll block the blue light when it is the evening. So if it's like 7 in the evening, I actually have where my computer screen will literally change to more of like a yellow because the blue has been taken out. And they call it like a natural dimmer, if you will. So I really love that feature as well, and I have that enabled. So I just want to let you know, guys, those are 4 or 5 tips that we love to try to put technology in its place. You know, make sure that you give your items a bedtime. Make sure that you really work. Oh, last tip, by the way, I didn't want to skip this, by the way, is that parents, did you know that, you know, when your kids are like 4 or 6 or something like that, you know, I get it. They don't necessarily care about you being on a screen, but Andy did some research with the Barna Group, which is a lot of what his research data is based upon in his book, is that he found out that a lot of kids, when they hit around 9-10 years of age, they are actually complaining a great deal about their parents being on their devices instead of engaging in conversations with them. And that's what I want to close on for this podcast for today, is the fact that I saw one piece of data that of all of the different age groups, okay, whatever way we break it down, 18 to 25 year olds are actually some of the most lonely people who have the most, reported depression, anxiety, loneliness, and things like that of our time. 18 to 25 year olds. All right. And I have a hard time understanding that, because when I was 18 to 25, folks, it was huge part of my life. And I can't even imagine now, but yet I can get it, and I can understand the fact that it's because of the fact that our relationships younger on in life are not being developed, and we don't have that sense of community around us, because we might turn to a screen in order to get that sense of community. And so if you have an 18 to 25 year old that you have in your life, or you have multiple 18 to 25 year olds, and I'm speaking to some of our older folks, love on them, okay? Because the epidemic is real. We have a very depressed and lonely society. And, you know, it's this dichotomy of we are more connected with one another than we have ever been. Excuse me. In the thousands of years that we have been on this planet, or, you know, whatever, the thousands of years that we have been able to be together, we are literally looking at the most isolated and lonely senses of community that we've ever had. We have increased technology connection, yet decreased interpersonal interactions. And so we have got to absolutely work on that, okay? 18 to 25 year olds, I love you. I think that you're amazing. You are absolutely necessary on this planet. And I just want you to know that if anybody can be here for you, I am. And so I urge you, I give you an action step today, is put down your phone at least once, and maybe simply have a very minor casual interaction with somebody today. Just simply put your phone down, say hello to somebody that you maybe meet in the coffee line, or maybe you see them mutually out at a store or something like that. Say hello to them. Please don't look down at your phone, and who knows who you could be talking to today. So without anything else that I want to do, those are the five things. Put technology in its place, folks. Use it to your advantage, because it is amazing. But with that responsibility, just like Peter Parker's uncle said, right, from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And so I just want to make sure that you are using technology in a way that it can empower you, it can connect you in no ways before with people that you may have lost touch with, but make sure that it does not actually have a stronghold on your life. And so if you have any questions, concerns, comments, please email me. I said my email at the beginning of the podcast, but leave me a rating, leave me a review. I am excited to give away my program. 50% off, folks. I'm not kidding. It's going to be a huge value. I will make sure that we talk about the program here in the very near future, but that's all I've got for today. I always appreciate your time, and I will catch you again on a podcast coming at you very, very soon. Have a wonderful week, everybody.